What are those signs showing? What are those signs anyway? So let's pause there for a second there, because we're not finished with our sentence. So let's go over the signs. If you recall, does anyone remember what's the first sign that Jesus did?
Water to wine.
Excellent. Water to wine. Which chapter is that in? John 2. Okay. So we have this first miracle where Jesus takes water and he changes it to wine. Now, how does he do it? Do you remember in the text, does he say to the wine, "Thou shalt be wine"? What does he do?
He just says, "Take it to the governor."
Take it to the governor. And then the head steward brings it over, brings it to the guy, and the guy drinks it. He says, "Whoa! Most people leave the best wine up front so that they can enjoy it, right? They leave the best wine up front. You enjoy it up front in the party. That's a drink. And then at the end, you pull out the cheap stuff because no one's palate is sensitive enough to understand the delicacies of the wine at that point in the party. But you've saved the best wine to last. And the text specifically says in John chapter 2, this was the first of signs that Jesus did. All right, what's the second sign? If we don't recall it, let's look at the last sign. Go back to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 4. This is after Jesus resurrected. When the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" And they had answered him, "No," because they're out on the boat fishing. And they didn't have anything to catch. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast. And they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put off his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So this last sign in chapter 21... it's the big catch of fish. So here's his last sign. So in this first sign, in John 2, Jesus' wine is better than the wine that they had at the party. It's better than the first. In fact, the problem was at that party, they had run out. They didn't have anything. No wine. It was done. And then suddenly they had an overflow of awesome wine. This last sign has the disciples working all night. They had no fish. It was all done. Nothing caught. And then suddenly, they have an overflow of fish. Wait a second. Hold on a second. We have a miracle here that has to do with nothing in the beginning and then a whole bunch of stuff at the end where the party is better than it was in the beginning. And then we have a miracle here at the end of the book that has to do with very poor work in the beginning of the night, and then it ends better than it started. That should make us ask another question. Are the other signs similar? Do they have other relationships like this? I mean, this one has going from nothing to something awesome. This one has going from nothing to something awesome. Why would John include both of those signs? All right, we'll stop there, because at this point, we're just about done, and I went over time because I had the introduction. So my speaking is done. What I want to get from you guys now is, if you want, take these post-it notes, and this way you don't have to answer out loud. Write down the other signs that are in the book of John. Write them down, and we'll throw them up on the board. And then what we can do, if you come back, you don't have to come back, but definitely on your own time, what you can do is then look, take a closer look at those book signs that Jesus did. Because it says quite specifically that John wrote down these signs for a purpose, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, he says lastly, believing in him, you have life in his name. So write down those signs. Take those things with you. Write them down. And if you want, let's put them down. And during this, we'll take 5 minutes. And we'll put it on the board. We'll put them even in order. And this way, maybe we'll have enough of a map of the book of John that we could then, on our downtime, examine it. And then we could come back next week and we can go deeper into that examination of why did John put these signs in there anyway? What's their purpose? What does each sign prove? We'll take 5 minutes. So what you could do then is on these post-its, it's pretty simple. If you think of a sign, put it down on one post-it. And then if you think of a sign on a different post-it, write it down. And then if you think of another one, write it down. So we're in the book of John. So just putting down those things, and then what we'll do, we'll put them up on the board, and we'll have a map of signs that occur in the book of John.
4 men talk with them, give them their word. Okay, groups of men. There is nothing good in me, in my flesh, save what Christ does
for me. Amen. Amen.
Yes. When I'm looking at this, I would count miracles also here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Over in 2. And the disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten thee up." And the fact that they could remember, that's a miracle. Now, this is after Christ died.
Yes.
There's recall. We have that miracle, recall, giving verses. Mm-hmm. And that's nice, because that's a miracle for us today. Mm-hmm. Knowing where I came from. I celebrated that I've been a believer for 20 years now, last month. But I haven't drank more than that. Uh-huh. And that's a miracle. Uh-huh. And I like that. That I can have these things in my life today.
There's one miracle I like.
Yep.
And it's when they come to get Jesus Christ and they ask him, "Where is Jesus Christ from Nazareth?" He says, "I am." They all fell backwards, the Roman guards.
Isn't that impressive?
That was so impressive. Now, if I'm a Roman guard and I got all my stuff, I got my sword on, I'm going forward, and this guy says I am, and I fell backwards, I would have been scared.
Now, you heard these two comments. This is pretty interesting here. Jesse mentioned an "I am" comment that happens in the book of John. Bill mentioned a conversation where the disciples remembered something. Is it possible that those things occur again in the book of John, or don't they occur? Or are they one shots, things that happen once? These are questions that you should be asking yourself as you're going through the book of John. For example, I mean, right now we're focusing on the signs, but in a couple of weeks, we are going to say, you see this "I am" statement. Does "I am" happen again in the book of John? Recall, there was a conversation that Jesus has with some men, and he says, "I am existed before Abraham." Do you recall that? And they knew what he was saying? Or how about the other statement where he's talking to disciples and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Wait a second, does that happen? Does that repeat? All right, so I mean, I don't want to detract from, but write that down. Like those sorts of things that come up, put it down. It might be a trail that you go after. Because what we're doing with John, we're poking at him and we're asking him questions. The great thing about teachers that write books is that you can ask all the questions you want. They've probably included it in the text. If they didn't,
Well, then they weren't writing about that specific question. But it's a teacher that you can always ask questions of. All right, so I'm going to take now our sign papers, if we have them, if you've written anything down, anything you've written down, and I will put it up. All right, so we have here, we have the raising of Lazarus. So this is a miracle that occurs in the book of John. Only occurs there. We have healing from afar. We have healing the invalid, the man who was sick for 38 years. Feeding the 5,000. Walking on water. And we have healing the blind man. So here we have our map of signs that occur in the book of John. We have the water to wine. We have healing from far away, healing the nobleman's son. So first miracle, we have this water to wine. The second miracle, this nobleman shows up, and Jesus, he comes by. He's like, oh, you know, sick. And it's at the point of death. And then Jesus says, your son's fine. Go home. Heals him right away. The interesting thing is that this happened from far away, right? This happened far away. In the resurrection of Lazarus, do you know what happened when he was far away? He got a letter. Jesus was far away from Lazarus. He gets a letter. And the letter says, quick, come. Lazarus is dying and then eventually dies. And Jesus, what he does, says he stayed longer. And then when he goes back to the town, the people are saying, if you were here, if you were nearby, this never would have happened. Could Jesus have healed him from far away? Yeah. He didn't. So John decides to include a story where Jesus heals from far away just by command. And then another story where Jesus doesn't heal from far away. In fact, he lets the guy die. And he goes after he's been dead several days. This story actually talks about how the kid is at the point of death. This story, the kid, the Lazarus, is dead.
Wasn't he dead for 3 days?
Yeah. I mean, so he remained at the place. Yes, thank you. So there he is, he's dead. Here, he commands from far away, and the child is fine. The nobleman gets there, and it happened the exact time that Jesus said it. Here, he doesn't go into the grave when he comes near. He stands outside of the grave, and then he tells him to come out. And he comes out fine. All right, fine. So here's another story. So we have the healing of the man at the pool, healing the invalid. Remember, Jesus goes to a pool, and there's this man waiting to get into the water. Jesus tells him by command, get up. And he's fine. Here, the story of the blind man. Do you remember that story? The man is blind. And Jesus goes up to him. He spits, makes some mud, puts it on his eyes, and then he tells him to go into a pool. Two stories, both dealing with a pool of water. Here, the pool is ignored. Here, the pool, you're supposed to go into it and dip. It's weird, right? Mm. Here, the feeding of the 5,000, this incredible thing. You have something that's impossible, that there's this little bit of food that winds up happening. There's a huge miracle where all these people are fit. It's nature being overcome. It's mathematics being overcome. And then here you have someone walking on water. Jesus walking on water. Nature again being overcome. So wait a second. Is it possible that John make the miracles? He picked the miracles to be related? Is that possible? We're stopping. So what I want you to do as part of your homework is look at the signs in the book of John. Take a closer look at the book of the signs. If John is writing this book with the purpose that these signs are supposed to teach us that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of God, and believing in him, you have life in his name. If that's the purpose of writing down these signs, why did John pick these 8 signs?
What do each of these signs teach us? Are the signs related? Are there similar things happening in these signs? Are there different things? Did he just randomly pick these signs? It's just that John needed some miracles, so he threw some miracles on the table and said, I'll put them in the story. Are they related? What's their connection? And are there discussions that happen around these signs that tells you a little bit more about them? Is that there? Poke holes at the text. Ask the questions. And don't make any question too hard for John. He can take it. Ask him, John, why would you do this? Why didn't you include this better story over here? So go through the signs and examine them. That's part of your homework. All right, that's it.